And with that, we are back. You guys don't know what... I was just spitting out gold left and right. I mean,
and now
I
it's all going to be duds from here on out. It's
nothing but shit now that the cameras are rolling. Speaking of cameras rolling, if there was one of us that deserves to be on TV, it's my lovely wife, the Fly.
Oh, thanks.
That sunflower might be open after all.
All of that shit talk erased. Directly across from me would normally be Bender, but we told him, you're not allowed to be here tonight. And instead... we're going with the Silver Badger.
What's up, party Yay! People?
Oh, and of course myself. I never introduced myself. What is
you need no introduction.
What is that hair? What's that movie? Please allow myself to introduce myself. Is that
That's Austin Powers.
That is Austin Powers. Yeah, it's very hard. Austin Powers has a lot of similar lines to Who's Harry Crumb, which
that's a classic.
Oh gosh, yeah.
Oh, so that movie's dumb too.
Oh, Who's Harry Crumb is a John Candy classic.
It's definitely his most underrated film.
Yeah, yeah.
All the Austin Powers movies are hideous.
Yeah, they're pretty bad. Funny, some of them.
No. Whoa.
Low brow, teenage high comedy.
Low brow, high comedy.
No, low brow teenage
high comedy.
No.
Yeah. No, wait.
High teenagers with low brow comedy.
Low brow. Okay, now we get it.
See, I feel like Austin Powers is more like...
we needed a guide, but she got us
She
there.
Got us there. Come on, the original Austin Powers is... it's a classic.
I saw a Goldmember with a person from Holland, and that dude thought it was the funniest. And he was laughing so hard, I laughed. It was one of the more enjoyable experiences I've ever had watching a movie.
That's because he didn't understand the thing that was going on.
No, no. He thought Goldmember, the bad guy who was from Holland in it, he thought it was 100. He goes, they nailed it. He's like, it's us. He was like, that's me.
So all the Holland people are bad guys?
No. You know how he was super tan? And he was very and he said that those people exist all over Holland. So.
I like gore.
That's it.
Come on, now the scene where he's in the bathroom and he's getting strangled, and Tom Arnold in the next.
Who does number two work for?
Come on,
you tell that nasty turd who's boss.
Yeah,
that's good stuff.
Oh. You are also internally little boys inside your heads.
I'll take it. High five.
Yep. There's a reason I still like the Stooges.
Yeah.
But Harry Crumb is filled with like lines like, Mr. Crumb, your reputation precedes you. And he goes, good, because if not, I'd be late for all my appointments. Mm. Get it?
Mm-hmm. Good stuff.
And the girl in Harry Crumb was the girl that ends up replacing Jigsaw in Saw. Mm-hmm. You know, talking about his assistant? That was the girl. She was in Becker, the girl from Becker.
Oh, that's fun.
She was
fact.
A very young girl in Harry
Crumb.
I was
like, how old was she? Because she seems like she's...
maybe 12.
Oh.
Yeah. Something
so
like,
she's not a woman.
No, I said young girl. Yeah. Shit. I went with the young girl name. But hey, enough of that. This is, as we record this, this is opening day. And while this is a good baseball time and the Cardinals put up a heck of a fight today in spite of not getting their best start out of their pitching, I don't want to talk about baseball because I want you and I, the next episode, to do the baseball episode.
Oh, we're not doing that tonight? Good thing, because I did not research
Bender,
much.
Bender didn't want to talk about baseball. Like,
well,
that's not
2 weeks
thing
in a row.
Said.
I think that's a win for the fans. That's a win for the fans, sense? Right? Yeah. How does he keep from getting to the finish line fast? But what this, because the reason we're not going to talk about baseball is there's a lot of pop culture things I do want to talk about, but more importantly, this is the most angry month out of the year. It's madness, I tell you. It's March Madness. And I know a little bit late. Here in a little bit, I want to get to March Madness. And I know the Flop has brought something to the table for us on March Madness.
Okay.
Kind of stealing your thunder. But I don't know that it's a quiz.
As long as she's not stealing the Lightning and the thunder.
No, it's not a quiz. So there's no thunder or lightning stolen.
I do feel like she's trying to assert herself in a more prominent position. And being that I do sleep with her, I think that would really put
her
as number two.
I'm already in a very assertive position over you.
So all that said, let's get into a little bit of... do you want to just jump into the tournament so far? Tonight's the second round, or the Sweet 16.
Let's do it.
Let's jump into it. I don't want to break down every game. I don't want to get into it. My note so far was just that Duke barely survived to get to the Sweet 16.
Sorry, Carter.
Not comfortable with how they're playing because they can't shoot threes and they keep trying it.
Wait, you're a Duke bandwagon person too?
Yes.
I've always
not a bandwagon.
Yeah,
okay.
I've been
a
around a long. I give Carter a hard time for being a bandwagon. And in fact, I make fun of him saying, "I don't think you were a Duke fan until I was, until you found out I was." But and he hates that. It gets him steamed. If there's one thing I can get under skin, it's that.
Does the Duke fan base have the highest percentage of fans that couldn't actually get into the school?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I thought you were about to say highest percentage of white people, but yeah, that yeah, probably is accurate too. And then the other big note for St. Louis is that the final score was not a good story of that SLU game.
Yeah.
They were down a lot, and they fought back into that game. To go down 14, a loss, a 14 loss, but at the half, they weren't even,
it
they
was,
weren't there.
It was deja vu of last year when Mizzou was also the last game on Friday night. I stayed up late. I was pretty buzzed.
Hammered.
And then within 10 minutes of the first half, I'm like, well, I'm going to bed. It's 10 o'clock. I'm housed. I'm going to bed.
I do think, that, though, that the big stories going into the tournament, obviously, is one, Zion Williams. And
absolutely.
Two would be Ja Morant, is that right? Ja Morant from Murray State, small school, close to us.
Yeah, destroyed Marquette, but then I guess lost Florida State.
Well, he played with they lost what was Vitek? Was that, who'd they lose to?
That was Florida State.
Oh, Florida State, maybe. Whoever they lost to.
Some ACC school that
was. It was Florida State, and they beat Murray State, but Ja Morant beat Florida State. He, in spite of triple teams and almost sometimes quadruple teams, had another great game. He, as much as I like Duke and I think Zion's amazing, he may be the most exciting player in the draft.
Oh, yeah. They're going to go 1-2, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. And it's going to be, and then RJ Barrett maybe go number 3. So,
now, did everybody fill out a bracket this year?
No.
I never do.
I forgot to get around to it.
Mm.
Well, we were on vacation the week before.
That is.
And then I came back.
But you know what? You know, March Madness just came up out of nowhere. We didn't even know it was coming that he couldn't fill out a bracket.
I would be the only person at work to organize it.
Right.
And I wasn't around to talk to you or Bender or anybody a lot before it came out. And I literally got in front of the computer the day before and I was like, man, do I want to fill one out at Yahoo? And I go, not really. So I just let it go.
He just wants Duke to win. Let's just say that.
When Duke wins, when I don't fill him out, Duke typically wins.
Oh. Well, I hope they don't win because I did not pick them to win. It was a total strategy because I figured that everybody was going to pick Duke to win since they are the best team. So I picked Michigan State. If they win, I'll probably win the whole thing.
Now,
if they lose, which they could easily do tonight.
I know, Missy, you don't know a lot about the tournament.
Know a lot about college basketball.
But I do want to, since you brought up Michigan State, and I don't know if you saw the story, but if not, we can catch you up pretty quick. Right now, the most legendary, active, respected coach of all time or alive is Coach K.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Slightly behind him, but is Tom Izzo at Michigan State.
Probably.
Black eyes that he's gotten over the years and some of
that had been Jim Boeheim before he killed somebody a couple weeks ago.
Well, Boeheim, and I think that Boeheim probably, I think Boeheim's in the conversation, but I think Izzo, there's a lot of people that might say Izzo gets the nod in his quality of teams over the years.
Izzo's very charismatic.
And I'm not talking shit on Boeheim at all, but he's a freshman.
He's a bitch. I'm never like that guy.
Yeah, well, but he's Carmelo Anthony away from not having a title.
True.
You know what I mean? I mean,
how many does Izzo have? Two?
Two, yeah.
But it's been a while.
Yeah, he had Mateen Cleaves, and that was his big one. I can't remember his other one. He might even have three. I think it's two.
I think he won in 99 and maybe 04.
Maybe. They beat Duke once, and I can't remember who they beat in the other one. But anyway, so coming off the court, one of his star players was playing stupid, being a bonehead, Melissa, and he chewed on him. And when I mean chewed on him, I mean he tore him an asshole coming up.
Reminded me of old school Bobby Knight.
So the next day, what was it? Was this an embarrassment to college basketball and to the Michigan State? And should he be reprimanded for making a show? And all the people that hate expression and are against free speech, and I'm not trying to make it political, but the extreme left were out in droves to crucify this guy. And then pro basketball players as a collective and analysts said, like Charles Barkley goes, you guys need to shut up. What happens between that man and his player is between that man and his player. And his former players were like, that's
so he just yelled at him.
No,
he lay hands on him like
he
Bobby
yelled
Knight?
At him like if one of our kids got a DUI at 17 years old.
Yeah, but he didn't lay hands on the
kid. No,
so, okay, because that was Bobby Knight, right? Was it Bobby?
Bobby
Knight
was the choker.
The choker. Yeah.
So that coaches are passionate, and when you're in a tournament like this, this caliber, yes, you're going to be even more passionate. Everything's going to be heightened. So I don't see them.
Yeah,
and you're not dealing with females. We have emotions. So.
And his own players had to restrain him a bit. And,
yeah.
one of his players said also because the guy he was yelling at would not shut up. It was he was being the kid getting his trying to get the last word in.
He was pushing that button.
Yeah, one of his own, I can't remember who it is, but one of his former players came out and said, there's never been a more positive male role model in my life than Tom Izzo, and I owe that man everything, so you guys probably don't know what you're talking about.
I mean, there is a fine line between too much and, you know what I'm saying, like, just yelling and then, like, going over the top.
It's just the oversensitivity and the complete need to police everything you see anymore. That's a problem.
See, you mean say?
Say. Yes, well, either one. Yeah. See and say. Like, for instance, I was going to bring up, I've been watching, and I love it. I texted Dwayne last night about it. I've been watching the cartoon anthology on Netflix, the animated one, Love, Death, and Robots.
Okay.
And it made me feel like when Dwayne and I were sophomores in high school, maybe even freshmen, and my mom came and got us because she was in Springfield for a weekend, and it happened to be a big convention, role-playing comic book convention.
Okay.
And so Dwayne and I were like in heaven, nerd heaven, and we're, you know, 15-year-old kids, and we stumble into this theater, and we first watched anime,
mm-hmm.
and it was showing on a 24-hour loop, different ones, and we felt like we discovered something new. I said when I watched the show, that's the first time I felt like that experience, because it's very cutting edge, very adult stories. So I look up on the internet, and Me Too movement people are up in arms about the violence against women and some of the sexism that's going on, and
the norm in anime and comics in general is the violence against women. It's just,
well, comic books have really cleaned up their act over the year. Gone are the big boobies. But the only problem I have with it, though, is it's actually the one thing they cited is the story I told you about, and I'm not going to go all into all of them. There's some that are my favorite. They're awesome. Check it out. I think, man, there's like 26 of them.
I watched one, and I dug it.
And they're like eight, but they range between 8 minutes and 14 minutes long. They're not long.
Okay.
But one of them, spoiler alert, it starts with this woman across a road in a futuristic kind of world, sees a man beating up and killing a woman in a room. And the woman looks exactly like her. And he looks up and sees her, so he spends 10 minutes chasing her around the city. They go into an S&M bar. There's a lot of very rough sex things. And they cited that. They're like, it's practically a movie about a guy chasing a girl around a pseudo-masochistic environment, you know, getting over on women. Women are there to please. But at the end of it, they get back to the same hotel room, and she ends up killing him,
mm-hmm.
and she looks across the street, and it's him seeing her kill him. So it's like a vicious loop. It's a cool story.
Interesting.
And I'm like, why are they up in arms? I mean, yes, it paints a violent picture.
She killed a man.
No. They were, yeah, well, that's, it tells a cool story.
Yeah.
So, yes, there was violence. I got news for people. There's violence against women, men, kids, mm-hmm. animals, and life.
My thing is,
what's the big deal? I mean, as long as you're not out there showing just constant rape, and I mean, it's not, if I get it, if you're persecuting a group or you're showing clearly that the guy that directed the movie Powder, that guy should have never made a movie about an albino kid because he was convicted of child molestation and accused. That's toeing the line. But this was just a cool story.
No, I just think that these are just stories. You don't have to pretend like you're in this life or anything like that. This is not true life. And if you are concerned about how people are going to think about this, maybe teach your kids and their kids and their kids and their kids and, you know, to be better people.
I think you nailed it. I think it's just a good story. And I don't think a good story has to be polite.
How do we go from Tom Izzo to anime rape?
People being up in arms over Izzo and being sensitive, and then they so I read that. I just happened to read them both on the same day.
There's a good clip you can find on the internet. Scott Van Pelt, who does Sports Night or Sports Center Late Night,
probably the last thing in ESPN I like.
Yeah, and he's a Mizzou grad, and he basically did a 2-minute kind of speech about it. Just this new generation just has to get over failure and being yelled at, or the world not going your way. And we're just making these safe spaces and coddling too much.
Yeah.
It's only doing them a disservice. Because, I think we're probably past the time in life where it's acceptable to just unload and scream at somebody.
Yeah.
It's a dying kind of thing. I wouldn't want to have my boss scream at me like that anymore. Whatever. I'm tired of that kind of crap. But is it enough for me to actually quit? No.
No, because you still need money.
Yeah, absolutely. So... And Izzo's got a long track record of being a great guy, and he's very charismatic, so much ado about nothing, the way I look at it.
That's exactly right. It is much ado about nothing. I mean, it's frustrating so much of it out there. I mean, I'm not, this is the only time I'm going to mention Trump in this whole thing, but I saw where Trump was going to start mandating that free speech was enforced on campuses and colleges. I don't know that that's a bad thing. I mean, it's weird that people protest people's saying the wrong things and therefore doing the exact same thing, and they just don't see it. It's just weird.
It's weird how the far left, which was considered liberal, is the ones who are kind of being conservative by shooting and controlling things down, what they want to hear.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very interesting.
It is crazy. Mm-hmm. I just say, for the world, just let's get out there and...
Let's just go around and fucking fight and do whatever.
ELA,
oh,
baby.
You want to fight?
No, he wants to fucking fight. It's clearly a progression. You have
and
to
I
do
think
what,
I wanna,
I'm pretty sure it needs to go the other way because you need to have it's the makeup sex.
Well, I think I'm so banty because I watched a Netflix movie over the weekend called The Dirt.
Yeah, we're gonna check
it
out.
Was
soon.
It good? My brother said
a lot of people enjoy. I've heard from critics that if you love Motley Crue, you'll like it. If you're not a huge fan of them, probably not your thing.
I like Motley Crue, and I wanted to talk about Motley Crue because I've been really trying to dissect what I think of that band after watching the documentary.
You don't think it's, like, over-sensationalized or anything like that?
Like,
they were
what
pretty
they
notorious
did?
Band.
Apparently, it's watered down from their book.
Oh, so like, you read one of them, right? Or you started
what?
It? The Nikki Sixx, the Heroin Diaries?
I did read the Heroin Diaries. That dude is fucked up.
Yeah.
And this still was, fucked up? I think he's okay now, maybe.
Well, his life and him. Oh. This one was based on Tommy Lee's book, The Dirt. Yeah.
The Dirt actually was all four of them when they were kind collaborating on a story. So Tommy Lee is in the movie played by Machine Gun Kelly.
Yeah.
Who does an okay job.
Who went through extensive makeup to cover his tattoos.
Yeah.
Oh, because Tommy Lee. Oh, I was like, because they didn't match Tommy's?
And that Tommy Lee just seems like a fun-loving idiot.
He was. He was a young guy.
Yeah. The best scene in the movie is, like, halfway through, Tommy Lee kind of breaks the fourth wall and goes, you want to know what it's like a night in the life of a rock star? Here's what happens. And it's like a two-minute montage. It's by far the best part.
You know why he's fun-loving? Because
he's got a big hog.
He survived hepatitis.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Anyone can survive hepatitis.
Yeah, but they had the scary one, him and wasn't it Pamela Lee?
Yeah, but we know someone... Yeah. He had a parent that had it, and they survived it, so.
The second best part was hour and 15 minutes of the movie realizing that Ramsey Bolton plays Mick Mars.
Yeah, I told it, but this time no castration.
No castration, no.
No, because it's already been chopped
off. Well, no, he did the chopping. Ramsey was the one that was doing the chopping.
Oh,
he tortured.
Listen.
Yeah.
I only know about four characters in that show, and
he died by the dogs.
I know names, but it's the putting them to the faces. Yeah. I have to ask Jeremy quite often to pause Game of Thrones. Who's that? Who's that? What's happening?
Two more weeks. Pause City.
Yep.
Yeah, because it's been 2 years.
Yeah,
I'm not going to remember.
Take a while
it.
To get into it.
Oh, speaking of talk about getting off topic, Mountain Dew released images of the Game of Thrones edition can. Have you seen it?
No.
Solid white can until it gets cold, and then in blue, all the names, and some of them scratched out for deaths, and it says Game of Thrones around the bottom. So it's pretty cool.
So watching the Cardinals game today, they played the Brewers, and in the background they had a Game of Thrones night, April 20th.
Oh, the Cardinals?
The Brewers.
Brewers.
Okay, Cardinals did that.
Cardinals are also having a Game of Thrones night, but it's like really early in April before the season restarts back up. So I assume a lot of the MLB teams are having a
probably.
Game of Thrones.
Oh, Cardinals, yeah. I've actually been to a Cardinals Game of Thrones night.
Yeah, I think you talked about it on here.
Is it,
probably.
Is it lame?
Yeah.
I feel like there's so many people, no one does anything.
Well, I think we've talked about this on the show before, but just, I don't like the whole idea of the theme nights where you have to have the special tickets.
That I don't like.
So
I
that's
just
what
like
the Game of Thrones was. You had to have a theme ticket to get your Game of Thrones Cardinal t-shirt, and then they played the theme song, and then maybe did like one game.
Yeah.
And that was it.
So, the River City Rascals, the little, I don't know. It's not AAA, but what is that?
It's an independent.
Independent. Okay, so they do theme nights, but they don't always give stuff out, which is fine because their tickets are so cheap.
Yeah. Right.
But they incorporate. They do a lot of stuff in between a lot of the
Yeah, it's a minor league game.
Because they got to keep you there to spend money.
Well, it's just fun. Their food is cheap. Their beer is cheap.
Apparently,
when I say cheap, I mean cheaper than Busch Stadium
right.
or any major league
their
stadium.
Their great relationship with Jim Edmonds, Jimmy Baseball.
Apparently, they do an adult Easter egg hunt there. That's
yes.
apparently a drunken shit
we
show.
Well, until you said shit show, I was
no, like,
we should totally
fun
do
way.
That.
Like,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, not to delve too much into my personal life anymore, but they're one of my customers. So
the guy was telling me about
he was telling me about all the theme things they do. It's like, oh, adult Easter egg
I mean,
hunt.
If we should do it also, seems fun. We have a kid upstairs that could babysit all
yeah.
the kids.
Speak.
Well, if, yeah, good if luck babysitting Johnny the benders, if we get the benders, Jeremiah and Kaylin could watch all the
oh,
kids.
Oh, so Kaylin. Because Jeremiah will play
I'd,
video games.
Yeah. I'd watch that movie. Adventures of Babysitting too.
So speaking of theme nights, and boy, we are just
the
zooming with the segues and the tangents. But one of my favorite, usually in baseball and stuff. I haven't been to one in forever, but we are drinking Schlafly's brand new St. Louis FC inspired beer. Now that we talked earlier about Kirkwood Station closing.
Yep.
So now and I like this one better than Kirkwood's was.
Yeah.
But on May the 4th, they have a May the 4th Be With You night, the St. Louis FC.
And of course
they're wearing Stormtrooper jerseys.
Oh.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
That is cool.
Yeah. They're if you're not told they were Stormtrooper jerseys, you wouldn't know it, but they're white with the black, you know, stripe.
We should do a podcast family-friendly STLFC game together. I think
we've mentioned it every year.
Yeah.
Would your kids?
John Hummel went before. Teddy would probably be fine.
At the game?
Yeah.
Wait till it's a little bit warmer out so no one's cold.
Yeah, because they basically have games, Wednesdays and Saturdays?
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
It's a fun time.
Oh, we've liked it.
I'd like to sit in the
Section 8?
Yeah.
The crazy
section?
Yeah. But that might be too much.
Hayden, we've went a couple times, and Hayden liked it when she had her whole team there, and she didn't like it when it was just us. So she needs something to entertain her. She might like it more now that she's taking a deep dive into soccer now.
Okay,
we do goalie training twice a week, practice twice a week. She's got 3 games this weekend. She's in it.
Well, hopefully the floodwaters recede and don't hurt the stadium.
That is a bad area. Yeah, that is a bad. They said they were going to kind of go down, and then all this rain's coming this week.
In this area, why do they always put soccer fields in floodplains?
Well, they really do.
Right off 370.
Because the land's cheap.
Yeah.
And soccer fields aren't.
Yeah, but that where the STLFC is, those have always been soccer fields.
Yes, for a long, long time. Yep. I'd be really curious to see what happens there when, or I should say if, MLS happens.
There's an independent baseball league. I mean, it might take away a little bit of it from there, but if you don't want to spend the big prices and you still want to see a hometown team,
yeah,
it's fun.
Get people.
It's fun. I mean, I think the problem all independent teams and minor league leagues that aren't affiliated, whether it's an MLS or or Major League Baseball, is just they have to find a way for you to connect with the players so you really buy in.
Yeah.
And that's a problem they face. But that's okay. Yeah. I mean, that's okay. But
real quick, you know what's crazy about that stadium?
Nope.
So the stadium holds 6,000 people, I think, now. But it used to hold 5,000.
St. Louis FC?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Back in 90, when the U.S. men's team qualified for the World Cup for the first time in 40 years, they played their final home game there in front
crazy.
Of like 4,000 people.
That's crazy. Wow.
Just
now
to think about how far
it doesn't even seem like 6,000 people would fit there, or 5,000 as previous, or even 4,000 at that time, because it's not a huge.
And they've done some
huge.
Nice remodel. The little fan shop in there, you can buy some clothes,
that's
is nice,
cool.
And then the Budweiser little brew house area is really nice too. So
I don't like. Well, are there? I feel like there's only bathrooms on the other side of the field. Are there?
That is a stinky part, no pun intended. But they have porta potties, I think, closer on the cheaper side.
Yeah,
yeah.
So. Enough about soccer. March Madness, back to that real quick, coming full circle. Still think Duke is the favorite, or do you think North Carolina has surplanted them?
We call them North Cackalacka.
North Cackalacka.
Every time I Cackalacka. Talk about North Carolina, you have to go, from North Carolina, 6-6.
I don't think you have to do that.
But it makes it more fun.
Does.
Oh.
I don't care.
Yeah, me neither. Me neither.
Here's the thing. All right.
You do care, because Duke's your boy.
Here's my little tangent.
No, I want Duke to win, but I'm not excited about this tournament.
The tournament is the most overrated thing in sports. That's my hot take.
Okay, this is a hot take episode.
Everybody gets real excited about it, and then after the opening weekend, especially if like your team you care about's out, nobody cares.
Wait a second. Are you not excited because you've already had a vasectomy?
No, no. I'm just not. I mean, it's probably because Mizzou and SLU have been bad for so long. But once like your bracket kind of starts taking some hits, I stop caring.
Yeah, I don't know who Karen is. I don't even know who plays tonight.
Well, I feel like you should feel like that every year, because how far would you get into a bracket without your bracket being untouched?
Yeah, well, this since NCAA.com has been doing it, this is the furthest anyone's ever done it.
Yes, Sweet 16.
Oh, somebody's undefeated?
Yep. Going into tonight, he's undefeated.
Yeah. He's got $1 million? Or no, how much is it?
I have no idea.
It's like a billion to win if you win.
And he's probably rich as fuck anyway.
No, he's an average dude who's a Big Ten basketball fan, they said. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well,
go him. Yeah. I was just looking, when you got my attention earlier, that's what I was looking at, was that guy that has had the perfect bracket.
Yeah. Yeah, but enough about basketball. The only thing I'll say is it's been a, with the exception of the UCF-Duke game, it's been a pretty lackluster tournament. Very few upsets, comparatively speaking.
Oh, Dennis C's getting their ass whooped. That's
So let's move on. One of the things I was going to talk about was going to be the love, death, robots. But before we get into that, let's stay on the March Madness theme and let's see what the flop brought to the table.
March Madness?
Today.
No, I did not bring March Madness this year. She did do that.
For those that don't know, who don't follow her on her Instagram or Twitter or anything.
I just take hot men and we like
March manliness.
Vote on him.
Yeah.
March manliness.
Very sexist. And if we were to do it with women, we would be crucified.
It's called like Miss America. It's called Playboy magazine. It's
I don't remember
porn.
Voting on these.
No. Yeah, I never voted. We just enjoyed them.
And it's parn, not porn.
Parn. Yeah. All right. So
parn and car.
I had to kind of reconfigure this. My initial thought was to like do old rock bands, and I was like, well, maybe Bender won't be into that. Let me incorporate an idea that would engage everyone.
So you never listen to KC's March Madness.
They just do it every month. A different band.
Oh, do
every
they?
Month.
My
yeah.
bad.
This month's Rush.
No, they do a whole thing. KC's been doing it for years and years.
But what they're doing now though is every month it's a band's top songs.
Well,
and
I don't
they
listen
vote.
To KC. Gotcha. Okay. So then I thought I would incorporate something that would engage all three of you. So my next
God
thought
rest Bender
was
soul. He's not here.
Democrat senators, who's hottest?
Superheroes versus wrestlers.
Oh, okay.
But Bender's not here. So I just went with straight wrestlers.
Okay. There we go.
Hey, she's playing to her audience.
Well, let me tell you something, brother.
So I have the 80s heroes.
Okay.
Against the versus the 2000 superstars.
Okay.
I like it. All right.
I do like it.
So first up, don't cheat. Don't look over
don't
here.
Don't look over.
Yeah. This was all off the top of my head, these people. All right. And I just didn't put them in any specific order.
I'm going to put on a rule. Mm-hmm. Me and Tom get a vote. Mm-hmm. And in case of we are opposed, you are the tiebreaker.
Okay. So we got first up Hulk Hogan and Randy Macho Man Savage.
Oh, out of the gate? Out of the gate?
I know, man.
Macho Man is a performer, but it's hard to go against the Hulkster.
But he did say the N-word.
Macho Man is probably my favorite wrestler all time.
He certainly has by far the best coked out interviews of all time.
But Hogan is an icon, and when Hogan lost WrestleMania 6, I cried. So therefore, I have to go to the Hulkster.
Hulk Hogan, yeah. But she really, you know what? And I'm not giving you a hard time. She really did not. She needed a true wrestling fan to help handicap the 1-16
seed. That could have been a final match.
That's
right
a
there.
Final match, yeah.
All right. Next up, Andre the Giant and Bret the Hitman Hart.
Holy shit, Andre. And I love Bret. He's going in the Hall of Fame this year again for a second time. Yeah. That's Andre. We got to set up the Hogan-Andre.
This is
final
a Sweet
match.
16 match, by the way. Like, we're going all
yeah,
the
we're
way
not
out.
Going all. We're not going 64 people, right?
No.
The problem is, my childhood, you're a little older than me. Andre was pretty much broken down, but
you watched the documentary.
I did watch the documentary, and I had to give him the...
And Hart, when you were a kid, was the man.
He was the man, not to be confused with Becky Lynch.
Yeah.
You got to go with Andre, the tiebreaker being, the movie Princess Bride.
Yeah, yeah.
What's his name? Rochman?
No, it was something with a G. Why am I blanking?
Oh, who cares?
I'll look it up.
All right, next up. Rowdy Roddy Piper or Ric Flair?
Oh, that's
woo!
That's the nature boy, Ric Flair. And Piper's great. In fact, that match would be awesome because Ric Flair would win in a disqualification because Piper would not put his shoulders down for anyone because that's how he makes his money.
Can I say your woo is a Ric?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, that's the nature
all
boy.
All right. Ultimate Warrior or Jake the Snake Roberts?
I'm going at Jake all day.
No, God. No, The Warrior.
All right. Miss, I get what you're saying.
The Warrior was the man for a short period of time. Jake was never the man.
And I admit, I'm going inside baseball here. Jake was he was the man in territory days.
Yeah.
The Warrior was the man in lack of territory. Jake was a booker. Jake was a brilliant mind, and Jake had an in-ring talent, and Warrior just was a showman. But I get it. I'm still staying with Jake, so that leaves Missy the tiebreaker.
Well, I'm going to go with Jake the Snake because he was my favorite back in the day.
Yeah. Well, we have one hell of a Mount Rushmore of wrestling. I'm not saying they are.
Yeah.
But there's arguments to be made for the guys that's on our 80s side.
All right. 2000s.
Oh, boy.
The Rock or Stone Cold.
Dude, what are you doing here? What are you doing?
This, listen, oh, I just thought of them, and this is the order they came out in my head, and this is how I just laid them out.
You know, the thing that hurts me the most is that Dwayne The Rock Johnson is going to get bounced in the first round.
No, he's not. Are you kidding me? No way. The Rock.
Don't let this come to a vote.
Stone Cold's the biggest pro wrestler in the history of pro wrestling.
I don't think he is. I think it's the Hulkster.
No, it's not. Merchandise would argue.
But
Hulk made
Showman? The Rock, and Stone Cold are very huge showmen.
They're pretty
in that
good.
Sport.
And I still consider the Attitude Era the greatest time in the history of wrestling because we had The Rock, Stone Cold, a young Edge. There was so much going. The Benoit. There was so much going on, but no one at the height of their popularity has ever been as popular as Stone Cold.
But look at The Rock now, man. He's one of the most popular people in the world.
Post-wrestling, he is. But, and
he's come back to headline WrestleMania where Stone Cold's been a broken down old man.
And he's literally in pay-per-view only beat Stone Cold one time. And they're the only guys to headline three WrestleManias against each other.
But wasn't that Stone Cold's final
match? He beat
him
in Stone Cold's final match. And because Stone Cold is a true wrestler, and wrestlers in their final match put over someone. That's how they do it.
Yeah.
And that was the only time. They're the only guy got to three-time headliner WrestleMania.
But let's be real. It's not because Stone Cold was a stronger competitor. That's how the storyline dictated.
Well, no. But he was an in-ring. He was known as a mechanic. So in-ring, he was the guy that led the matches. So he was the man.
I think The Rock was fantastic on his own, where Stone Cold needed Vince to kind of give him the push.
No,
yeah, didn't he reinvent himself?
They were the perfect.
You don't listen to the podcast good.
But didn't
he had to go tell Vince to stop fucking with him and just let him go. And Vince finally is like, all right, let's
do it.
But
Vince was the perfect foil for him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They were. Well, yeah, Vince is the greatest heel in the history of pro wrestling.
All right, so what's your vote?
He was Rock. I was Stone Cold.
You know my vote.
I know what your vote's going to be, and I'm just going out on the limb saying this is rigged.
For other people that don't know, I'm a huge Dwayne Johnson fan. All right. Mick Foley, because he's had multiple.
No, he's one of the greats. He's
but no, yeah. I say Mick Foley because he's had multiple characters, okay? Or The Undertaker.
Oh, I love Foley, but you're going down here, bro. It's the greatest. It's the best WWE based creation of all time, in The Undertaker.
Well, I like to thank everybody right here. It's good old St. Peter's, Missouri. It's got to be Mick, because the most iconic moment for me in wrestling history is Mick going off the chain.
Yeah, he's thrown by the Undertaker.
Yeah,
but no, the 2000s is this. You can just going down this list now. You see why they were. It was a stronger era. Yeah.
You said Mick too, right?
No, I said Undertaker.
Oh shit!
I'm
gonna go with Mick Foley though, because I feel like he was just a like all his.
Everybody loves
Mick. I get it, guys.
He was just.
You have an alliance.
No, I just went. Whatever.
I'm just kidding.
All right, next up, Brock the I Am a Douche Lesnar.
Okay.
That's his official.
We better not tie.
Or Chris Jericho.
Oh, Y2J, Chris Jericho. Yeah,
right.
Jericho is quietly becoming one of the top four or five wrestlers in the history of wrestling.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, last matchup for the 2000s.
Yeah.
Triple H or John Cena?
Ooh. Okay, first off, I want to do a little.
A plane crash. The Titantron falls into the ring, taking them both out, giving Jericho a bye.
Well, Jericho's making it to the final, but how is HBK not on here?
Oh, she didn't
this
know.
This was just
this
off
top
the
of
top
head.
Of my head. I don't know a lot of the.
You didn't like the sexy
no,
boy?
No, no, no. She was confused because he started in the 80s as a rocker. And he, since he gapped it.
Shawn Michaels.
So
I mean, for God's sakes, his Funko character's right over
here.
Yeah,
since he gapped it. She had to just take it, just it, you know, just
wait a second.
Him.
You guys are hating on me for my 80s during the 2000s.
No, we're just saying Shawn Michaels is one of the.
He could have been in both categories.
He could have
been 80s, 90s, and 2000s. That's what I'm saying. Right. You eliminated him because he spanned them all.
Right. Okay.
So I'm Hogan.
Triple H or John Cena?
I'm going with. You go ahead. Go first, and I'll.
You can't see me, John Cena, but I'm going to go ahead and vote for you right now, buddy.
Yeah, as much as I want to, as much as I stand by when the Austins, and everybody even acknowledges it, even though he was the most popular guy ever, got higher than anyone, it was a short time. Hogan was amazing, but no one in the history of pro wrestling has had a longer run on top than John Cena.
All right, so
and
Cena
it's,
it is.
For that reason alone, I'm going with Triple H, because I don't want John Cena.
Well, I'm going to go... You're making me really seem like I have an alliance with
and John Cena and Triple H slept his way into running the company. Yeah. So.
Well, I'm going to go with Cena just because that's who Hayden likes.
Yeah, that's true. Right. That's true.
Real quick, Hulk or Andre?
Hulk.
All right.
Because Andre let him go over. But no, if Andre wanted, he would won this list.
Ric Flair or Jake the Snake?
Flair.
The Nature Boy.
Yeah, that's what I think too. Mm-hmm. The Rock or Mick Foley?
The Rock and Sock connection?
Yeah, against each other, like they started. In this matchup, I will go with The Rock. Even though, and the reason, my logic for going with The Rock is because Mick Foley would put him over.
He would.
Yep.
And The Rock and Sock connection might be my funnest wrestling memories.
Yeah, funnest.
Are you The Rock too, Tom?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All right. And
Rock too, Tom. That's a new name for it.
Jericho or Cena?
Oh, Jericho for me, yeah. Yep.
All right. Hulk Hogan or Ric Flair?
It's got to be the Hulkster for me.
It, you know what? Just because I want Missy to vote, I'm going to go with Flair because Flair deserves a vote.
Well, from when I was a kid, Hulk Hogan was
He was the man.
It's Hulk Hogan. And it really does feel like I'm all on Tom's side.
Yeah.
The Rock or Jericho?
The Rock.
I'm going Jericho just to make Missy vote for The Rock again.
Well, I do like The Rock, but I'm going to go with Jericho this time.
Jericho?
What?
The Ayatollah of rock and roll. Here's the thing. I don't know if you remember, but when they united the titles, the WCW and the WWE title for the first time.
Yeah, Jericho won it.
Over The Rock and Stone Cold in the same night.
All right, so our final two are Hulk Hogan or Jericho.
Dude, I'm going Jericho all the way to the top.
And
it's the Hulkster.
It is. I feel in this instance,
I'm writing down Jericho as the win because he swerves. He swerves.
Let me ask, if I did pick The Rock in that instance, who would you have voted for, The Hulk or The Rock?
The Rock. I'd have voted for The Rock.
It would have been tough, and we also would have been talking about, what, was it WrestleMania 19? Or 17.
Yeah, when the crowd put Hogan as the face, and they had to switch
in
the ring.
Yeah, it's a fantastic wrestling moment, Missy, where The Rock was the good guy, Hogan was the bad guy, but the crowd basically said, nope, we're cheering for Hogan. And so they had to do the swerve in the middle of the match and make Hogan
It was why, and why that's important is heels usually drive the match. Mm-hmm. The bad guy's in charge calling it, and they had to take a turn. It's considered among wrestling insiders the second most important. I'm going to take one of those raspberry milk because I said I would try it on the air because it doesn't sound like one I would like.
Oh, my Lord.
But it's considered the second greatest in-ring psychology match and turning the crowd match of all time.
Yeah.
Number one was Bret Hart Stone Cold, which people consider the kickoff to the Attitude Era. It was amazing. The Rock. It was what McMahon was saying. Here's the two most entertaining or electrifying outside the wrestling arena in the film and everything. These are the two biggest guys we had. Here they are finally facing each other, and it was awesome.
# make wrestling great again.
Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, so, Mawa. #Mawa.
I like it.
Hope you guys like that.
That was good. That was fun.
Oh, Wagga. That's it. Wagga. #
Are you gonna watch WrestleMania?
No, yeah, although I do want to see, I think now that, and this is getting way too deep, but I think now that Charlotte Flair won the title from Asuka, the man is going to win. I think she's winning.
Oh,
it.
I thought the man was going to win as soon as I saw her win the Royal Rumble.
I thought Charlotte was going to win.
Is the man a character, or are you just saying
it's Becky Lynch?
Becky Lynch, she says, I'm the man. She's, for lack of a better word or better analogy, she's the female Stone Cold. She's turned herself into that.
She's fun to watch in the ring. She's easy on the eyes. Sorry, #MeToo.
Yeah.
Women's wrestling, I think, is more entertaining than the men's product right now.
It's the superior storylines right now.
So
with the exception of Kofi.
I don't watch wrestling, obviously. Well, not obviously, but you guys know. So I feel like it kind of has a connection to, like, female MMA. Like,
yeah.
Females go out to prove themselves. We have to. We are always having to prove ourselves. So they, like MMA, they're going all out killing each other. The female wrestlers are probably doing the same exact
thing.
They
are definitely.
Well, you are the fairer sex that have the eye of the tiger, and we just want to hear you roar.
Yeah.
Did you mean the eye is in the cleavage?
No, no, she's talking about Katy Perry.
Like, you turn your eyes right to...
well, that too. I think he's saying, I've got the eye of the tiger. No, that's not it.
No,
that's
not
instantly. No, you just instantly go...
I got the eye of the tiger, and you're gonna hear me
boom, boom, roar. Yeah, I think Becky Lynch is gonna win it. I think Stone Cold said on some interview that it's probably the most... behind a character he's seen the fans be since him, that style of character, and he said that she's got a rocket ship to her back, and she said, after WrestleMania, the first beer's on me. And that's the best response.
Wow.
I don't know about... Daniel Bryan was pretty hot about 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, but wrestling wasn't as hot. Wrestling... Daniel Bryan didn't get mainstream news and outlets and stuff covering him and stuff.
I get what you're saying. Yeah, probably fair.
They were drawing like double digit ratings when stuff.
I don't know how wrestling. I tried watching Raw last night Monday night for the first time. Like,
it's
two
a bad,
months.
It's a bad product.
It's horrible.
SmackDown is a good
every
product.
Monday night though. Every
but they night. But the WWE continually bury SmackDown even though it's a better product.
So I will apologize if I miss any good people.
No,
on this
no,
list
you
put them in the wrong kind of order.
Nah,
so
you're
they
good.
Can
nobody
go
has
ahead
ever made a good list like that because everyone there's always somebody that's missing and somebody gets pissed.
Well, yeah,
but
there's
no,
always someone
really
that's missing. Those were literally the people that I could think of off the top of my head without going to the internet.
Yeah,
so,
I mean,
that's impressive.
So the only thing that...
Embarrassingly, I know more about wrestling than I should probably admit. I thought of these people.
Literally, the only two complaints anybody listening will have is that you put final matchups in the first two brackets, Macho Man and Hogan.
I know.
But the other thing was, if he brought it up, Shawn Michaels is... He's
I thought
almost
of Shawn Michaels, but I know he's on now, and I didn't.
Well, he's not on wrestling now, yeah. But he
recently in the 2000s he was.
Yeah, and he's universally considered almost the greatest in-ring performer of all time, and that's why people would lose their shit. But that's okay. You're entitled to lose your shit. Just tweet us about it.
Because you know what? That was my list.
Yeah. No,
make
no,
your
I'm
own
saying
list if you don't like my list.
No, what I was saying though was your list was good. That's the only two things that people will bitch about. Other than that, it was a damn good list.
I don't think people will bitch.
I want them to.
Mainly because we only had two viewers for that whole thing on Saturday.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that was but we also
I tried watching. And the kids kind of dragged me away.
Well, every time we've done an evening one, we've got a lot of viewers. That was a noon
weird time
noon show.
The beer sounded pretty good though.
It was great. I'll have mine
the
soon.
Beer,
Bender,
oh, my
Bender's
gosh. It was.
Yeah.
I didn't think that a syrup waffle beer would be good.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It was delightful.
Before I crack open this beer that I am almost assuredly going to hate, but I don't know.
You could like it.
Yeah. So what I'm
is
talking
it a
about
winter
is
season?
It's a Left Hand Brewing Company's Raspberry Milk Stout. I love
now, what made you purchase that?
I love their milk stout.
He was drunk.
We were drunk. And I said, and I thought she would like it. And I thought, you know,
where'd
even
you buy that?
Dierbergs.
Yeah.
Even though, or Schnucks, maybe. Well, I can't remember. We were drunk. Even though I don't like raspberry beers, it's a raspberry milk stout. And by God, I'm coming off of a week where I had a lot of different beers in California, and I felt like I needed to keep that going.
There you go.
I feel like the raspberry won't be that overpowering because it's a milk stout.
Well, what's odd is it's not a strawberry milk stout, because isn't strawberry milk a thing from Nestle and whatever?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Yeah, but you can, like, do chocolate and raspberries.
It's got a little bit of a rosy tint to the dark chocolate to it.
Mm.
Or dark,
it comes
I think
out
dark
very
stout.
A little pour. Thick, though.
All
that's
right.
What
well,
she said.
The head has got a little bit of a red tint.
As I'm about to
said it again.
As I'm about to check into it and drink it, Tom, what did you bring today?
So we already talked about The Dirt, and also another thing on Netflix that Kelly and I watched is 6 episodes of a show called Dating Around. It's a dating show from Netflix.
I saw that.
Very, very interesting. So the show premise is one person goes on. I can't remember if it's 5 or 6 dates, and they wear the same clothes on each date, and they go to the same places, and during their 25-minute show, it just seamlessly edits between all their dates. And it's normal-ish people. Like, so the first episode is a really good-looking straight white guy. The second episode is like a middle, like our age, Indian woman. It's all in New York City.
Yep.
And then the third episode, which I thought was by far the best, was a gay Asian guy, a Gaysian. He was just very, very funny and very charismatic. And then they had a widow, a gentleman who was in his early 60s who was a widow. And then a lesbian episode, and I forget what the last one was.
I have a quick question.
Quick Who's answer.
Who's wearing the same outfits? All the people?
No, so just so the person who's dating.
So the person who dates that's all dating of them. Is going on a date with a lesbian and an Asian.
No. So like, all right, the Asian guy who's gay.
There's different themes of people that are going on these dates.
Oh, yeah, so his episode, I think his name was...
I was like, what the shit?
I forget what his name was, but like, so the episode starts... Each episode starts with that person getting ready for a date, and then a voiceover describing the person.
Smells like meat.
And then it goes, the first thing is like cocktails. And then the people come up and they introduce themselves. And I love dating shows like that because you can kind of have side bets on which who the person's going to take.
I like how you like the things you like. You can turn it into a betting show.
Absolutely. So then they do the cocktails and then dinner. And then sometimes after drinks, sometimes the dates get dismissed. Like, not to spoil too much, but the Indian episode, she's on a date with this white guy. He just comes off like a complete asshole. And he just like walks out on her.
Oh, wow.
He's an asshole or she's an asshole?
He is an asshole.
Yeah, I
Wait,
get you.
I gotta bring the thunder?
No, quit hitting this.
I'm pounding to show how...
I hate when I try to do that stuff, and not that I'm mad at you, and you guys, look, it's just you've been doing it a while, and I hear it picks up pretty heavy.
All right, guys, so, I got told.
So, and is it a real Netflix original, or is it like something that
Netflix
was broadcast
original.
Somewhere
What's it
else?
Called?
Huh. It's called Dating Around.
We've watched the trailer for it when we were drunk, probably.
It was really good.
I watched quite a few trailers. Well,
have you watched it all?
Yeah, so Kelly and I watched all six episodes. What I liked about it was it just how real it is. Like, people going on blind dates. It's not like the show Blind Date, which had its purpose and time. But, you know, it's not trying to be funny. It's not trying to make fun of people.
Netflix can do that.
Yeah, and it's edited really well, like almost like a professional film. And, like, these people are very open about their experiences. There's lots of real talk. Like, the widow episode was really... sad. The guy, they didn't have any kids, and his wife died of cancer, and explaining it, and he's just trying to go out and find himself.
Does it make you appreciate what you have because you don't have to be out there dating right now?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, I remember dating.
I mean, I did, these people are in adults, like, well into their...
Yeah,
some of them are well into their adulthood.
I think the youngest person is... There's a straight white girl. I think that's the last episode of the straight white guy.
Is there a dirty white girl?
No, there's no foreigner in it. Well, actually, there is a foreigner because there's an Asian guy and an Indian woman. They're in their late 20s. And those episodes are kind of like your typical, like, an ABC dating show. Yeah. I mean, a little, but...
So that's how you... And we can't make any illusions. Not that Netflix would pull the wool over us and script things, too. But that's what makes you feel that it's kind of real, because they don't... cheapen the normal dates, and they, you know, I mean,
right. And then then the episode ends with the second date, and the person's always like sitting on a street corner on a sunny day waiting around, and then the person they pick shows up, and then the episode ends.
So out of their universal untapped scale of rating things, what would you give it?
Were we doing six packs still?
No, we're doing the universal untapped scale of rating things.
What's five?
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
I was gonna hit you, Bender.
Like, what an asshole.
4 out of 5.
4 out of 5. That's strong.
It's really strong. It's really good. And you know what I like about it? It's 6 episodes.
You hate if I watched that without you?
No. Okay. No, I wouldn't at all.
Let me know what you think, Alliance member.
Because I tend to watch things while I, quote-unquote, work. And I don't... It has to be things that I can't fully pay attention to.
I think what you mean is while you work, you, quote-unquote, watch things. Because you do work.
I do work. I can watch TV and work and still beat the ass out of it all my teammates.
Yeah, I would say, like, when I was single, I liked watching dating shows because I could pick up on tips on things to do and not to do. There's a couple people on these dates where, like, they're just... You can just tell by their body language that they're just talking about themselves too much, and the other person's just not receiving them.
That's a good point,
like,
though.
It really does help. That's
so you're saying dating shows helped you become a successful dater?
A serial dater, if you will.
Yeah. So we've got a show that we alluded to, I think, on the Twitter. I tweeted about it or Facebooked about it. But before we do that, you know, since we are using our universal untapped scale of rating things, we might as well rate this beer that I all had you tried, the one I went on about a while ago. Missy, what'd you think of
two.
It? Oh, okay, that was a solid two.
Gosh, now it's kind of getting creepy of us tonight, but I also thought it was a two.
Now, I can't change my vote because I've already locked it in on the phone, but I too gave it a two.
There so you it's go. A solid two.
It's not the worst beer I've had,
worst,
but it's not.
It's not I would
finish
another.
My own.
I would finish it, but I wouldn't have another.
Yeah, I'm going to take it, but or drink it. I'm going to take every bit of this beer.
Is that going into our chunk tour?
I'm good. Yeah, but it'll be there for somebody down the road. That's for darn sure. We watched a show on Netflix that I found super interesting, and Missy didn't walk out of the room or beat me up about it, so I know she liked it a little bit. But we watched The Battered Bastards of Baseball, which was awesome. There was a story about baseball that I had no clue about, and kind of to throw back to the beginning of the episode, it was about the most successful independent baseball team of all time, minor league team. And it was the Portland Badgers. Yeah,
yes.
And they were owned by Kurt Russell's dad, and being Russell, and Kurt Russell played on it because he was a college baseball player.
Okay.
And what happened is when Bing Russell left Hollywood, he moved up there, and the AAA affiliate had vacated the town. So he literally paid $500 for the territory and was like, I'm going to make an independent team.
So
and
remember $500.
Yep. And he hosted open tryouts.
Okay.
And, like, they expected, you know, 60, 70, 80 people, and like 600 people showed up.
Oh, wow.
And he put together a team, and they put them in single A, but they beat the pants off of every team they played. They had the best record,
but
except the end of the year.
Hold on. Tell Tom and our listeners what Bing Russell, how he put together a team. Like, what was the one thing that he put to, it was speed, right?
Oh, yeah. They extended every hit. They stole bases. They did. They knew they didn't have power.
So when was this? Like the 80s?
More like the 70s. Yeah, late 70s. 76. I think it was 74 to 77. Something like that, around that time. And they literally would be like double-digit leads going into the end of the season.
First game, they demolished.
No. First game, they had a no-hitter.
Oh, wow.
In their first game ever. And
this is when professional teams started having their...
Well, it was before they became an independent team. A few years, at one point, there were hundreds of independent teams. When they became an independent team, they were the only one in the country.
Yeah, so everyone else was minor league.
Yeah, affiliated programs killed them all.
Huh.
Major League Baseball killed them all on purpose.
Right.
And so he put together this team, and they went out in this affiliated league and beat the pants off everybody. But at the end of the year, when it would get close to the championship or in the championship, the teams they were playing would send its AAA players down to play them and beat them. So they never won a title.
Interesting.
But it was – and but so they set an attendance record that some Major League Baseball teams couldn't beat.
Wow.
Over there, like
– It's a very interesting documentary.
Yeah. Bing loved the game. And what was cool about it is his history. He never played. He came from a family that never played. But his dad was like a pilot or something down in Florida, and he just decided he loved baseball, so he'd go watch the Yankees play. He gets in a fight over a foul ball. It's thrown to him, and three kids try to take it, so he fights them for it, and he's kind of bloody and beaten, and he goes back, and his dad says, what happened? He goes, well, they tried to take this baseball from me, and I wouldn't let them take it, and Lefty Grove was there.
Oh, okay.
And he goes, son, if you want a baseball, I'll get you a baseball. And he took him with him. So for the next 8 years, he was the official bat boy for the Yankees. Lou Gehrig hit his last home run of his career and gave him the bat. So he still has it. He had it.
Right.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Does Kurt Russell have it now?
Yeah. And Kurt Russell, he's an executive producer of the documentary, and he's in the documentary. And he was a great baseball player. He had the most three-hit games in that independent league or that minor league that single A.
Wow.
It's really interesting.
It's very fun. And very it's based – oh, and Jim Button, the blackballed pitcher who wrote the book Ball Four. He, before he made his comeback into baseball, since they wouldn't have him, he goes and pitches for him.
Oh, wow.
And does great.
Yeah.
And gets back in the league. But, yeah, it's – If you're not a fan of baseball, it's interesting. If you're a fan of baseball, you will love baseball more after watching that documentary.
So how many pitches did you give it?
Oh, I give it five out of five.
Hit for the cycle and one.
Everything that's great about baseball in that documentary.
I would give it a five.
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, it's worth it. It's worth it. It's fun. So what else did you bring? Anything?
Well, I guess I never gave the official beer pack review for the dirt.
Yeah, what was that?
2.5.
Whoa! Wow. I expected 3.
It's pretty cheesy.
We'll check it out.
I mean,
here's the thing. Like,
weren't the '80s cheesy?
Well, here's what I've been struggling with. Like, clearly Motley Crue. Yes, that too. Clearly Motley Crue. They were bad people, and they kind of touched on some of the bad things they did. But it's all like cheeky frat nod. It's hard to like kind of take that under consideration in 2019.
Like, for lack of better words, dumb it down to make it look like it was like cheesy frat? Do you think that they were really doing bad things out
there? Well, like, apparently in the Dirt book, there is a part where Nikki Sixx is having sex with a woman and then, like, tags out and tags Tommy Lee, and Tommy Lee, like, finishes.
And she has no idea.
She had no idea.
And then
Nikki Sixx, like, I guess that came back up in this Me Too movement, and Nikki Sixx said that the ghost author, Neil Strauss, made it up.
Of course. If he didn't. I'm not mad. We're talking about the coke-addled heroin days of the 80s.
They did a lot of heroin.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely not excusing any of their behavior, but I would almost, and this is a awful thing to say, probably wasn't the first time that happened to that girl. It was a time that...
Well, I forgot Vince Neil killed somebody.
Well, no, just that group of people that was in that crowd, there was a lot of crazy stuff that went on.
That's probably not the first time they did it.
It certainly wasn't the first time that has happened to that girl.
People get really caught up in the excitement of being around celebrities. Before you know it, you're drunk or high. And before you know it, you've lost all ability to do anything.
Well, and that's exactly my point. I'm not saying that in a good way or bad way towards her. I'm just saying that stuff was commonplace around that group.
But also in the same breath,
she didn't deserve
it. She did not deserve it.
I'm not saying that.
She put herself in that situation, which is horrible as a female to say.
Look, this is not a hot take, but it is a take. I don't know that a lot of people get a pass, victims and aggressors. And I guess if she was a victim in that situation, because they all willingly were doing drugs.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because they wanted to grab that stardom. I'm definitely not burying the girl. I don't even know the girl, but I'm just saying.
And it's not like the girl's ever come forward and said, oh, that was me. Right.
She may not still know.
Yeah.
Well, she doesn't. She may not know. Or she tells a story like, I fucked both of them, and that was the best day
Or
of
she's
my
embarrassed,
life.
And she,
I
like a lot
Tommy's
of.
I had Tommy's dick all the way up my throat.
Oh, jeez.
Or she might look at it and say, you know what? I did a lot of stupid shit from drugs back in the day. And that
Everyone
was part
does
one of it.
Yeah. Stupid shit, drugs or not. We all do. No one is perfect. No one.
I'm pretty awesome.
You've done stupid shit.
Boy,
let's
I have.
Be real.
Yeah, I have. I mean, I did stupid shit probably today. I can't think, but I'm sure I did.
Sure.
You did.
Well, so what's the legacy of Motley Crue? Were they in the top bands of all time?
They're not. I mean, they've got...
You think they're more of a joke?
I think they are, and this is a band I love. They're in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but I'm just saying, I know a lot of people's opinion of AC/DC is not as strong as, like... There's some people that love AC/DC, but then I've heard, like, on radio stations or sports stations and stuff, like, I guess they were an okay band. They're in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. They get shocked. To me, Motley Crue is a much more extreme and version of that. Like, yeah, they were popular, but I don't think I've ever heard one person say, you know, musically, they got their shit together.
Okay,
let's do the name game with Motley Crue, right? You know what the name game is?
Better or worse?
Better or worse.
All right, go ahead.
Kiss.
Oh, they're better than Kiss. I don't have any respect for Kiss.
I'll agree.
Poison.
Ooh, that's a close one. Popularity-wise, I'm going to say they were a little better. And front to back, I think I probably like their catalog of songs better, so I'll give them a slight nod over Poison.
Okay, yeah.
You go Crue or Poison?
Yeah.
Def Leppard.
Oh, Def Leppard all day. Leppard. Yeah. Def Leppard had some incredibly talented musicians.
Journey.
Oh, Journey.
Journey.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know people still sing Motley Crue songs, but no one sings a Motley Crue song like they do Journey songs.
That's true. For real. That's very true. I think, I'm trying to think if there's any other ones.
Kiss was probably still more popular, though. Kiss made more money than Motley Crue by far. And Kiss is not exactly the most musically gifted band of all time either.
I think the legacy of... Oh, last one, Bon Jovi.
Oh, Bon Jovi.
Bon Jovi. Yeah, I think the Jovi's probably more respected.
I think Crew... So after watching the movie, I've kind of done a deep dive into them this week. I think they are better musicians than people give them credit for. I mean, Tommy Lee, I think, already gets enough credit, but Mick Mars is a fantastic guitarist.
I think they're good. I think they're solid, but no one
I would say
considers them at the all-time... Or in the list of the... Certainly not of the Led Zeppelins of the world.
No, I would say top five hair band... In top 75 band of all time, somewhere between.
That's what I was going to ask. For the time, where would you place them?
I would place them behind Guns N' Roses, yep. Def Leppard, and I think they're probably better than Bon Jovi.
Maybe. You might be right.
Because I know Bon Jovi's considered hair band-ish.
Yeah, they skirt kinda, the pop.
It's a different feel to Bon Jovi's music.
I give Crew credit, and I give lots of bands more credit. If I can name everybody in your band,
yeah,
clearly you're doing something right.
Well, they were
and they're
yeah,
one
they
of the few
were,
ones I can. Many, I can name Tambora and Bon Jovi. That's it.
Yeah. Right,
but their song was in a movie. Was Motley Crue in a movie?
Well, yeah, they've been in tons of movies. Yeah,
but.
Well,
Bon Jovi created a song for the movie.
Yeah, yeah, I see what you're saying. But I think, and you're talking about Blaze of Glory from Young Guns 2. But I think that Motley Crue has a much deeper catalog of songs you know when you actually look into it.
Oh, for sure.
But me and Missy grew up in kind of at the end of the Motley Crue's run.
Yeah.
And like, really, really at the end of the run was when I was coming of age, so to speak. So when I started getting into girls and I was a skateboarder. Def Leppard was certainly popular. Pour Some Sugar on Me on that album.
Right, right, right.
I can tell you, growing up in middle America, I did not have a lot of friends that were just big Crew fans.
Sure.
Let me give you a name that you didn't throw out there.
Yeah.
They weren't Van Halen.
No.
Halen... was around that same time period as them.
That's weird to think about.
And they may honestly. Be the they may be one of the most musically respected bands of that time period. And like, so even as a skateboarder, you would think, and when I was a kid, I was a skateboarder, you'd think Motley Crue's music would lend itself. But I can tell you, I skated all day to Running with the Devil, and nobody I knew put on a Crue song. It wasn't until I got older and honestly became more of a, I wasn't a frat guy, but a drinker and a partier. Then I was like, oh, fuck, Motley Crue's awesome.
Well, I think Van Halen and Poison, and to a lesser degree, Def Leppard, are bands that, like, I look at Poison. Poison's a band that is including everybody to come and just party. I mean, it literally ain't nothing but a good time.
Yeah.
Where Crue is kind of a grimier, almost a punk band.
Well, what they were was one of the first, an early and very successful band to come out of that L.A. music scene.
Yeah.
Which was a very, I know people find this hard to believe, even though it was like all this glam, it was a very blue-collar scene.
Yes.
Those guys paid their dues in the Viper clubs and all these grimy places. All it's kind of like in the 70s and late early 80s, CBGB did. You know, all those punk bands did. Mm-hmm. They paid their dues, and they came. I can see where they were. There's something dirtier about Motley Crue than there is Poison.
Yeah. Nobody in Poison was shooting up heroin.
Maybe. But they definitely didn't let it go out of control.
But let's be real. There was something about Motley Crue that was so important that made them popular.
I think it's a couple of things. I think they're just a little more dangerous.
Yeah.
And apparently, I never saw them live, but apparently their live shows
were
pretty
good. They were great. Yeah.
Back in the day?
Yeah. No, I saw them in like 2000.
Oh.
2000.
Was Tommy Lee still doing the?
No, he was not. I saw him at Riverport, Kansas City, and they don't have the ability to. They didn't have the ability to do all that.
So you know what that is? When I did a little role there. So Tommy Lee gets in a cage.
Oh, and he does his spins. It's like a roller coaster.
He did that, and there's one where they rotate him out over the thing.
Yeah, I knew that, but I've never seen them live.
The thing from my childhood that I remember the most, though, I went and stayed with a cousin of mine up here in St. Louis. He was 6 years older than me, and he had on tape from one of his buddies I can't remember the exact name of it. We'll have to look it up, but it was like 1 year, 12 days, and so many hours in the life of Motley Crue.
Mm-hmm.
And it was when they were doing the video for Girls, 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 and the reason it's so prominent in my head, and I mean, hell, I was 10 years old. They line up about a bunch of girls in a room and say, hey, we're going to make this video. We just want to make sure you guys are up to snuff, so everybody take off your shirts and your bras. And they literally walk down and judge their boobs and what they could be in the video. That was how they did it.
Well, I don't agree with that. All the girls, they could have walked out.
Yep.
It's a different time. That's not why I bring it up. But that was impactful thing that mm-hmm. they had on me from that age. Like I said, when I got older, I got more into Motley Crue, and their greatest hits album was awesome. They're a weird spot. They're kind of in that upper middling spot.
They slightly underrated?
Maybe. They got a lot of good songs.
They really do.
They got a lot of good songs. I think maybe they're underrated is they're a victim of their own debauchery. I mean, people kind of don't take them seriously because they didn't take themselves seriously.
Right. Yeah.
You know, they made a lot of mistakes.
But people should also connect to that because just people in
Yeah, they should, general, but like... we like to judge. That's a society. We judge. Yeah.
Especially right now.
And then, you know, Tommy Lee went on to be kind of a joke in the 90s and stuff with the being naked and the Pamela and then the get naked with First Lady of Biggie Smalls' mistress. What was her name?
Faith?
No, the rapper.
Yeah, he got in a rap.
Oh, God.
Queen Bee?
No.
Yeah, that was, I mean, that
I heard
was,
just I can see her nasty old
boobs painted and stuff. I can't remember. But anyway, Tommy Lee had a song called "Get Naked," and it was hip. It's a hip hop song, and it was her and her line in it.
Lil Kim.
It was ride the cock till it hits the spot, and in the video, she was on a giant chicken.
Oh boy.
Yeah. That's I remember. I mean, and even now to this day, Nikki Sixx is kind of a joke. Speaking of Nikki Sixx and his buddies, one thing we can bring up. Congratulations to Nick Cage for his wedding over the weekend.
Wait, what now?
Nick Cage got married over the Saturday.
Oh.
Today he announced he got an annulment.
Oh, boy.
4 days. Good job, Nick.
Jesus Christ.
And she really does not like hearing bad things about Nick Cage, so she ran out of the room.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that I watched the documentary. They certainly are an interesting band.
They are. I mean, you know, I forgot that Vince Neil killed somebody.
Oh, I said Nick. Vince Neil's who I meant, the joke. Vince Neil, who's Nick Cage's buddy.
Well, I mean, the hardest part of the movie to watch is Vince Neil. I forgot that he had a daughter that died of cancer at 4. You know, that's my oldest kid.
Oh, yeah.
It's fucking terrible.
Yeah. Well, hey, what are you going to do? I mean, just a strange group of guys. And, you know, I always wonder with guys like them and... not Metallica, because Metallica, even though they were just massive alcoholics, they don't fit into this category. But I wonder, guys, like, how much money would they have today had they not been so crazy?
Yeah.
Where would they be? I mean, they might be, you know, as a band, 600-700 millionaires if they didn't just waste their money on stupid shit and doing drugs.
You know,
drugs
it's funny, though. You don't hear a lot of them being, like, broke.
Oh, I would imagine they're cashing royalty checks every day.
Yeah.
You know what I was listening to an interview one time on Rogan, and it was Everlast. He said he told Joe, he goes, there's money I work for and there's money that just shows up every day, and the money that shows up are royalty checks. Every time someone plays my song at some house, jump around at some arena, I get a check. He goes, money I earn now is, he goes, money for my music now, I'm working hard for. Money I made back in the day, that's just reoccurring lazy money.
There you go. I was speaking of Rogan. Steve-O from Jackass fame had a Motley Crue story on Rogan's show.
A great one. Yeah, from when he was a kid.
Yeah, yeah, basically called every hotel to find out where the crew was staying. Yep. And then when he finally figured it out after 2.5 hours, the crew thought it was so awesome, they gave him fifth row seats.
Yeah.
No shit.
Yeah.
But how did they find out? How did Motley Crue find out that he was doing that?
So he got a hold of their manager.
by calling around.
He called every hotel.
And okay. he was fibbing. He was giving a story that was believable to get patched through to someone had they been there.
But he didn't say the story?
Yeah, he did. I mean, I heard this story a while back. I mean, I heard this a couple years ago.
Yeah, and so, he got the fifth row seats, and there's pictures of, like, Motley Crue in their heyday and, like, 12-year-old Steve-O.
Wearing a shirt. I can't remember he's got the Motley Crue shirt on at the time.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Oh, I guess back then it was okay to wear.
Well,
that
he was
concert.
A 12-year-old kid. You know, he didn't know any better.
That's never okay.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, I guess, you know, we've been running long. Let's go ahead and throw to Missy and see if we got anything else for today.
I do not have anything.
That
else.
Is a shocker.
I know.
Shocking.
But she brought a fun game.
Yeah, she did bring a good game. She did bring a good game. Controversial.
Very controversial.
Like pro wrestling itself.
Indeed.
What about you, Tom?
Well, hey, you know, your St. Louis Blues are getting down that final stretch here for the playoffs. Who would have thought 3 months ago at this very bar table that they
How many games over 500? What's their record now?
502.
I don't know. They're 1 point. They're 1 point away from clinching a playoff spot.
Ooh.
Yeah, and I mean, and how many points away from being in charge in their division or in their
five maybe from catching the Jets, but they're two back from getting
that's
the
what
Predators.
It is. Yeah, they're two back behind the Predators. They beat Tampa Bay, which is massive.
I was at that game. It was a lot of fun.
I watched Monday night. I watched them play the Vegas Knights, and I tell you, I was watching that game, and I was like, oh, my God, they're going to get their asses kicked. Vegas was out skating, was beating loose pucks, and they came out with a 3-1 win, and one goal was called back. But still, I was like, "That I guess maybe that's them. Even they're scrappy. They're getting there.
They're a scrappy bunch. Everybody's pretty much healthy now. I mean,
they're buying in.
They're buying in. They're getting to the dirty areas, Missy. It's always important. You know, showing a little want to.
Yeah.
Want to.
Yeah.
We'll see. I got playoff tickets. So.
Well, let's hope on the first day of the baseball season in a game where the Cardinals were a robbed home run away from going to extra innings.
Yeah, I only watched the last two innings, but that was fun. That was
very exciting.
It was a
game.
Good game.
Wonger. I always prefer Wong in the two hole, but he's pretty good in the eight
you
spot.
You always prefer Wong in the two hole, huh?
Because that's just funny to say.
It is.
But he had two home runs today. And he dented the car that you get when you hit it here car. He put a dent in it. He hit it there.
Oh, did he put a dent in it?
Yeah. Yeah. Nice. And if for those that don't know, it came down to the final out of the game was a robbed home run. Jose Martinez hit it, and Lorenzo Cain robbed him of the home run.
Man, that dude was excited.
Yeah.
It was. Good for him. I mean,
the takeaway from today for me, the only negative of the day is I would have liked Michaelis to pitch a little better, but they played the best team in the National League last year, and at their home field – on opening day, it's fine.
Do you know what
it's one game?
What I learned during the game today?
Nope.
In their first like 25 games, they play the Brewers 10 times.
Yeah, it's insane.
I hate that shit.
Freaking
yeah,
crazy.
The baseball scheduling is a problem. The only other negative I'll take away from the game, and I've been all spring training, I'm like, you know, Derek Fowler is a good vet. He's had a great career. He deserves a chance to not play. Or play. He's got the money. They're paying him a lot. And then when he popped up with the bases loaded, I said, time to get rid of him. Let's go. He exhausted my patience right there. So
it'll be interesting to see how that goes moving forward.
I'm just happy baseball's back. Softball comes back for me soon. A lot of soccer left in the tank for
our adult volleyball team's kicking butt.
Yeah, nice. we're pretty good.
We're number two, and
we're playing the team in front of us tomorrow, whom we've
already
beat.
We have a doubleheader, yeah.
We beat them last year to win the championship. We got a championship shirt. So all there out there in the world, your favorite volleyball team should be How I Set Your Mothers, because that's our team name.
Yeah, I like
and,
it.
I usually yell, come on, mothers.
Yeah, we're a bunch of mothers. Volleyball players. So that's it. That's all we got. There is no Bender here, so we'll skip him. But we always start with Tom.
Let's go, Blue!
Bye!
And there's no butts to hold on to, but we're going to play some music.
That's going to blow on my butt.
Hey, here's my butt, guys. Found it. Found the mouth.